You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Jeff Haven about foolproof tips to losing your job, actually ways of inspiring us to carry on and keep going. So welcome back, Jeff. Some of the things that we'd been talking about were if you're an older worker, some of the ways that letting go to be fired, or is it different than from a young person's issues?
Oh, they're a little bit different. Yeah, generally when we come into the workplace, we start out young and cocky and full of ourselves, and we think everything is great and all our ideas are good. And then as we get older, we realize that some of our ideas weren't good. So, you know, we accumulate failures. We accumulate successes as well. But as we accumulate failures, we tend to slow down a bit. We become a little bit more resistant to change. We don't want to repeat the mistakes we made in the past. So we get a little slower, a little more complacent. Business has been going good for the last few years. No reason to expect it to be any different for the next few years. So, yeah, I do think that the issues evolve as we age into our careers.
Okay. And young people, young employees just don't seem as loyal anymore. What does that cause?
Well, they don't seem as loyal, but the truth is they are. Actually, today's young workers, today's 25 to 34-year-olds are actually more loyal than any 25 to 34-year-old group of people since the 1960s. They are actually more loyal workers. They stay in their jobs longer than the baby boomers did when they were their age. And if anybody listening thinks that I'm lying, please do me a favor and cast your mind back to every photo you have of yourself from the 1960s, because there's not a single one of those pictures where you look employable, because y'all just look like long-haired, pot-smoking, van-living hippies.
So there's young people are striving much harder today to get a foothold and find a place.
Yeah, actually, I think, and this is one of the real frustrations for young workers, and sometimes I think maybe older folks don't really appreciate it. They have come into a workplace where, pensions aren't the same as they used to be. Security isn't the same as it used to be. There used to be an automatic kind of full-time employment contract, but you're seeing a huge movement towards, you know, temporary workers, contract workers, so, you know, no benefits, that kind of thing. And also the gig economy, where, you know, there's no protection for employees or anything, their ability to bargain collectively, things like that. So in general, they're being asked to, you know, work as hard as everybody else, but they're getting less as a result of it. Mm-hmm. And that's frustrating. That's a very hard sell. It'd be very hard to convince me to work as hard as somebody else but not get as much as that person. So I think it would benefit older folks to appreciate that the world that these younger folks are coming into doesn't promise them as much as it used to, and that matters. That's a big deal.
Okay, Jeff, how do you keep them from getting downhearted, the youth that are striving so hard without the benefits and all the wonderful things that we did, the people of the 60s?
Huge, and benefits are a large part of the reason that people stay wherever they stay. But that isn't a large part of the reason that people are happy where they stay. There's plenty of folks who are, you know, working at a job they don't like, and they're just, you know, punching a clock because they're, you know, waiting because they need the benefits that come with that job. Really, the big issue, and this matters even more now for younger folks because they can't even look for those same benefits that their older colleagues had, is meaning. They're looking for something that makes them feel important. They're looking for a place where they're, colleagues make them feel like they matter specifically, you know, like, I don't want to be a part of your machine. I don't want to just be a piece in the puzzle. I want to feel like you care about me particularly, that you're not just waiting to figure out how to automate my job or send it overseas. And they also want to work somewhere where they feel like the job matters, that the thing that the company does is somehow important. And this is something I feel like most companies really really struggle to explain to their workers, like, what is the benefit that we provide to the world? I think a lot of times we get really wrapped up in, you know, hitting our sales numbers and making revenue and all that stuff. And those are important things. That's all fine. But it's equally important, especially on the psychological side, to make people feel like, hey, this thing that we do, this, you know, we're a transportation company. We make sure that people can get to their jobs. We make sure that people can see their families over the holidays. Yeah, I know. You also, you know, ferried, you know, however many millions of people back and forth, and you hit your sales numbers, and great, you grew 8%, whatever. Those are all fine things. But if you're not talking about the human side of what your business does, then you're really missing an opportunity to make people attach to that mission and feel like they're privileged to have the opportunity to participate in it.
Yes. And there's so much change. Like I say, everything is moving so fast. How do you help and inspire people terrified of change? How do you trust in such change?
Yeah, well, you got to remember that this isn't a new thing. You know, that's the problem with change, is that we get used to whatever we're doing now and we think that we didn't change to get here. We think that we've always been this way. But I am a month away from turning 40, and I can promise you I am not the same person I was when I was 15 years old. I used to never have to stretch. I would play 90 minutes of basketball. I would never stretch at all, because stretching is for losers. And now I stretch after a nap, which is not very exciting for myself. I wake up, and I'm like, oh, I must have slept wrong. Like, how do you sleep wrong? That's ridiculous. So I think it's important for people to point out whenever they can that the way we're doing business today is not the way we did business 2 years ago or 5 years ago. And one of the best ways to get people okay with change as it's about to come is to remind them of changes they've already dealt with and that they're happy that they did deal with. So, you know, let's say 5 years ago you guys went through some transition and maybe everybody was not so excited about it, but it's over now. And you're working fine, and there's probably parts of that transition that you're really glad they happened, and you don't know how you would go back to doing business the way you did 5 years ago. You just need to remind people, hey, we did something like this a few years ago, and look how it turned out. We are all great. We all figured it out. There are some benefits that came from that. Maybe the same thing will happen now, too.
That could keep us a little more Willow-like. Yeah, Jeff, you're just 40. You might have 20 or 30 years ahead of you. How can you see your work life going? Yeah, I mean,
My career, I hope I can continue. My goal with as I speak to people and as I create, you know, professional development training, my goal is to make sure that whatever I talk about stays entertaining, so everybody gets to laugh, they get to enjoy it, they get excited about it, they don't feel like they're being put through something or tortured. And I also want to make things seem simpler than they are. I'm not trying to sell consulting services, for example, and I think a lot of times when you're trying to sell consulting services, you try to convince people that whatever problem you're trying to fix is super complicated, and well, you need someone like me to come in and fix it for you. And I don't want to do that. I want people to realize that a lot of the problems that we deal with are fairly simple problems, and they have very simple solutions. It requires work on our part. I don't mean that they're easy. There's a big difference between being easy and being simple, and there's a difference between being complex and being difficult. You know, leadership is a difficult thing to do. It's hard, but it's not complex. It's not super complicated. The rules that make effective leaders are not, it's not things that some people can learn and other people could never possibly learn. That's not true at all. So my goal is to continue trying to figure out ways to make people realize that the knowledge they need is not difficult knowledge to obtain. Might require some, you know, perseverance in order to apply it, but you can get it very, very easily, and I'll promise to make it fun.
And how important is humor to learning?
Well, like I said before, nobody likes to be lectured to, so I think it's critical. I think if you can't figure out how to inject at least a little bit of levity into what you're doing, you have a real hard time convincing people to listen to you. The other thing that humor does that I think often gets overlooked, like the core of humor, the reason that we laugh is because somebody said something unexpected, something that I didn't see coming. And when it comes to education, one of the real problems that a lot of us have is that we think we know what we're going to hear. We think we already know this stuff. I've heard a leadership talk before, so I don't need to listen. I've heard this stuff before. And if I don't say anything that surprises you, if I don't catch you out of left field and, you know, catch you off guard a little bit, then you're going to think, well, I've already heard this, and you're going to tune me out. But if I can throw some humor in there and you're just like, whoa, I did not see that coming. Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to listen now. I'm going to see what this person's going to say. So, because maybe I'm going to be surprised again. So I think it's really important as a way to keep people's attention, which of course, you know, is harder and harder to do all the time.
Mm-hmm. And are you doing any straight up comedy gigs right now?
No, I am not. I kind of wish I got to, but unfortunately, if you throw the word comedian in there, people think you're just going to be dirty and cursing and talking about, you know, politics and religion and all the subjects you can't talk about with professional folks. So I do not get to do that anymore. That was a decision I made about 8 years ago.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the inspiration and information about ways to work in the job and keep it fun and keep it humorful. So thank you so much for being on the show. And I would also like to thank Alan Wishart. He's our producer of this show. And we'd like to thank all the radio stations across Canada who carry the program. Have a healthy and happy day.